Just suppose God searched through heaven and could not find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you. My soul would be lost. But I'm so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me." My soul would be lost had it not been for a man called Jesus. Then forever my soul would be lost.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. All right. Thank you, Brother Ingram. Appreciate that song. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, please. And we're going to jump right on into the Wednesday service, all right? Take your Bible, Ephesians 2, 2 Corinthians 10. Ephesians 2, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let me encourage you to be here on Wednesday evening. I realize that school's in, and we're going to try to have you out here pretty quick. And Wednesday evening services, I think, are essential to our Christian growth. It's more like along the lines of almost like a Wednesday preaching, teaching Sunday school class. And so we want you to learn something, and that's the reason it's so vital that new members and new Christians are here on Wednesday night to get the teaching and preaching from our pastor. And when he's out, we'll do our best to try to fill in here. Ephesians 2. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you found your place, let's stand together if you would please. Ephesians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians 10. Both of these verses I'm going to read to you tonight are going to be very familiar to you. And the preaching's going to be very familiar. The subject's going to be very familiar to you. But I hope that you'll learn something and we leave this place blessed of God tonight. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. The scripture says, "For we," that's us, that's believers, "are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath," I want you to circle this word, "before ordained that we should walk in them." Let me say something. You can be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The scripture says that every one of us are the workmanship of God Almighty. He created you exactly as He wanted you to be. He's prepared you to be what exactly as He wanted you to be. But I want you to notice that word in verse number 10. It says, "which God hath," and that's an interesting word. It says, "hath before ordained." Did you know, and we'll get to this at the end of the message quickly tonight, but do you know God's got a perfect will for everyone in here? And has had it before the world began. Amen. Think about that. Let that soak in just a minute and then turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12. And notice what Paul says here. He says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number." What number is that? That's the knuckleheads that look around and think that they're doing okay compared to someone else's life. You know what? That's knucklehead Christianity. All right, that's not wise at all. He said, now, church members, he says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number." He says, "Or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they..." This next word. What does it say they're doing? "But they measuring themselves by who?" Not wise. "And comparing themselves among themselves," in that last statement, "are not wise." You know why? Because God's got a perfect will for everybody's life in here. And the comparison is not to be as he said here. He said, because God has a perfect will for you and has had a perfect will for you before the foundation of the world. And that's going to come back to visit you one day. Do you know that? That's going to come back and find you one day. And I want to talk to you tonight about unwise comparisons. Unwise comparisons. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm thankful to be in church tonight in a free country where we can come and serve and preach and amen and to shout concerning the Word of God and learn without interference, Lord. And we want to thank you for that. That's not the case in a lot of part of the world. Some people tonight are having Bible studies and preaching underground, in behind closed doors, hiding out. And we don't have to do that, and we're thankful for it. And Lord, help us, Lord, not to take for granted the freedoms that you've given us. Would you bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight? And we'll certainly give you the glory for all that should be accomplished. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Would everybody agree in here with me that God knows us better than we know ourselves? All right, if God knows us better than we know ourselves, and you know what He knows that we are? He knows that we're complainers. We complain. Anybody in here not complained about something before? Whether it be to someone else or to God? And we're complainers. He knows it. You know what? From time to time, we become dissatisfied with things. We become dissatisfied with our circumstances in our life. So He knows that we're complainers. But wait a minute. You know what else He knows we are? Blamers. He knows that we blame people and blame situations and to a fault. And so He knows not only that we're complainers, He knows that we're blamers. By the way, some of the greatest people in the Bible, you know what they did? Pointed their finger to somebody else. First guy did it. So you know what God knows we are? He says we're blamers. We're always looking for somebody to take the rap, right? Except for us. So He knows we're complainers. Sometimes we're going to get dissatisfied. He knows that we're blamers. We like to point the finger towards somebody else or towards circumstances because we just happen to be raised in a rat hole. That's why I am like I am. A rat. Right? But can I say something to you folks? At some point in your Christianity, you've got to grow out of that. Because He said to do that is unwise. Because where He knows we're blamers, He knows we're complainers. Let me tell you number three what He knows. He knows that we're enviers. Man, we're envious people, aren't we? He knows that we envy. Listen, you know what envy is? Here's what envy is. Envy is discontent at the sight of someone else's success. And man, we see somebody, God bless somebody else, and man, why can't that be me? Why didn't that happen to me? And then if we're not careful, we'll start envying the world crowd. We'll start envying the world and lost people. So God knows that we're envious type people. So He knows we're complainers. He knows we're blamers. He knows we're enviers. But can I say number four, He knows we're comparers. Prove my point. Next time that you go to the store, stop and watch people. I was in the store the other day, and there was a lady, and she was looking through the clothes rack, like all ladies do eventually at some point. And she was looking through the clothes rack, and she found something, and she pulled it out. She held it up. You know how to do. And they... You know, they're you know what they're doing? She's checking it out. And then you know what I saw her do? She took that one, laid that one, and she reached around and pulled another one and held both of them up. Both of them, checking them out. You know what she's doing? Comparing. I was in Kroger's Saturday. Walk in there. There's one right up front. They got this big old bend of plums, peaches, cantaloupes or something. And here's a woman in there, and she's got her bag, and she picks one. I think it might have been apples is what it was. And she picked one up, and she looked at this, and she picked another one up. She was comparing. She put that one down, put the other one in her bag. And then she reached in, and she got another one. And she said, you know what she's doing? She's comparing. See, what I'm saying to you is God knows we're complainers. He knows we're blamers. He understands that we're enviers, but he also understands that, you know what, by nature, we compare. We compare things. We compare clothes. We compare when you go car shopping, you know what we do? We compare cars. Compare prices. Some, I'm sure, just recently compared rings. I'm sure they didn't buy the first one they saw. So what I'm saying is God understands that we compare. And it's because by nature we're comparers, we're complainers, we're blamers, we're enviers. God understands that. He knows that. He knows that we're but dust to the ground. And this is why that we're instructed, folks, to overcome the flesh daily. The Bible says we're to die daily. So in order to do that, you know what we've got to do? We've got to take some spirituality at some point and apply it to the complaining. Apply it to the blaming. Apply it to the envying. Apply it to the comparing, which is our subject for tonight. We've got to apply some spirituality. It's like this. Brother Barnett takes care of our yards, Justin, and every now and then, the preacher will point out an ant bed out there. And he'll need to go apply some ant killer to the ant bed. Or, it's the same thing as a kid. Remember when you saw a snail on the back porch? You guys, you ran inside and got some salt and poured on him, and all of a sudden he went from that long to about that long. Just, like an accordion. Now, what I'm saying to you is, that's what we've got to do. At some point, we've got to take a big dose of spirituality and apply it to these things that are false in our life. And one of them is comparing. And because God understands that we compare things, He knows what we are, and He knows that by comparing, it's not wise. Problem is, we don't get it. Now, some of you are going to ask, well, Brother Todd, what's so bad about comparisons? I mean, don't I have to at some point? Don't I have to use something as a measuring tool? Don't I have to use something to measure my growth by? Yes, you do. But it's not one another. All right, it's not one another. Now, let me give you a couple of things here to jot down. We're going to turn to some places in Scripture here tonight. First of all, we're not to compare ourselves with one another. That is not a wise comparison. Take your Bible, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would, please. You say, well, why can't I compare myself, Brother Todd? What if it's a spiritual person in the church and that I consider spiritual? Why can't I compare myself with them? Because the Bible says that you're not to compare yourselves among yourselves. It's not wise. And for a couple of reasons, let me tell you why. Number one, it's fleshly. Okay, it's fleshly. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. The Scripture says, for we, that's believers, walk how? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See? For we walk by faith and not by... All right, so the Scripture tells us that you and I are not to walk by sight, but by how? By faith. So if what you're doing is by sight, comparing yourself with Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual sitting next to you, even if you think they're on top of the game, God says it's still not wise to do it. It's still not wise to do that. All right, turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse number 11. All right. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 11. Let me give you another foundational verse here. Galatians 3 and verse number 11. All right, Galatians 3, verse 11. Look at the last part of the verse. The just. Who is that? That's us, the believer. The just shall live how? There it is again. By faith, not by what? Not by sight. But God knows we're complainers, blamers, enviers, and He also knows that we're comparers. We like to compare. And many of you today may have gone to the store, and you know what you did? You compared one item with another item, one price with another price, one vegetable with another vegetable, whatever it is. We are comparers. So the reason we're not to do it, first of all, is it's fleshly. Second of all, it's just not wise. It's just not a wise thing to do. Now let me tell you why I believe it's not wise for us to compare, and I believe why the Lord said it's not wise for us to compare. First of all, it can fuel pride. It can fuel pride. Because here's what we do. When we start comparing, normally the first thing we start comparing ourselves is with people that we think are not so spiritual. Okay, that's the first person we compare ourselves to. So then what happens is we look and we think, hey, you know what, look at these people. I've taken two or three steps up beyond that. So what it can do is it can actually fuel pride. And all of a sudden you think you've become a Pharisee. And you've elevated yourself when actually you may be below the standard of Christian living. But what we've done is we're unwise, it's fleshly, we've compared ourselves with someone normally we start off with that is what we think to be less spiritual than we are. So not only does it fuel pride, but may I say number two, it can also destroy my willingness. Because then on the other hand, I see somebody who comes up, if I'm in the comparing mode, they come up and they give a testimony. And I'm more than they give a tear-jerking testimony, maybe about a soul-winning visit or this, or maybe about how God has blessed them. And all of a sudden, we put them on a level and say, man alive, those people are really spiritual people. And then you know what we do? We sit out in the pew and think, boy, I just don't think I can do that. I don't think I can ever attain to the place that they are. So you know what it does? It destroys my willingness. It halts me, and what I do is I settle down and say, listen, I can't ever reach that. So you know what I do? I stop praying. I stop studying my Bible. And let me tell you something, the world's worse. And some of you young guys in Bible college, let me say something to you. One of the things you're going to have to fight more than anything in the world is comparing yourself to the last preacher just preached in the chapel. Or the preachers that come and preach in his pulpit. Because you know what you'll start thinking? If you're not careful, you'll start thinking, well, I can't ever preach like that. How about tapping into the source of the Holy Spirit before you start talking like that, all right? How about start understanding that the power that may be behind the man of God behind the pulpit has something to do with God, you see? Amen. So I'm just saying to you that what it does is it's just not wise for us to compare ourselves among ourselves, because usually we go to the what we believe to be the least spiritual, which puffs us up in pride, and then we turn around and we look at those that we think are way up on a pedestal, and it hinders my willingness to pray, to preach, and maybe even to serve. You see, that's the reason I believe he said it's just not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. So, first of all, I think we shouldn't compare ourselves among ourselves because of 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. May I say number two to you, we shouldn't compare ourselves with Jesus. Let me show you something, okay? What we do is, I'll tell you what, just take your Bible and go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me tell you what happens, okay? We confuse the word compare with the word example. They don't mean the same. Jesus never commanded me to compare myself to Him. I notice, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 2. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 2. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, you'll recognize the verse. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." Now notice this. Leaving us what, church? Leaving us what? An example. He is leaving us a pattern to follow in morals and manner. And he says, okay, he's leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. All right, everybody follow me? He never said, I am to compare myself with his ministry. I'm never to compare myself with his prayer life. I can't pray like that. I can't win souls like he won souls. But you know, I've heard 1,000 people, at least probably, in my day say, listen, stop comparing yourselves among each other. Compare yourself to Jesus. Don't do that. Right, don't do that. He never told you to compare yourself with him. He said, I've set an example and a pattern. Now follow my steps. He says, I've set you a pattern of morality. I've set you a pattern of manner and of ministry. Now follow those steps. Now take your Bible, go to John 15, or 13. John 13. Remember Jesus teaching his disciples, and he's now in the process of washing the disciples' feet. John 13 and verse number 15. Notice verse 14. Let's go back up there and just get the thought here. Verse 14 says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now look at verse 15. He says, for I have given you a what, church? He said, I've given you an example. I've given you a pattern that ye should do as I have done to you. He didn't say, I want you to compare how I washed feet to how you wash feet. I want you to compare how I humble myself compared to how you're to humble yourself. He said, listen, nothing about comparison, everything about example though. About following his example. And yet, folks, you know what happens? Too many of us try to compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what you're trying to do? You ever heard the little cliche, you're comparing apples and oranges? That's what you're doing. You're comparing finite with infinity. How foolish is that? You're comparing knowledge in part with omniscience. That's even more foolish. Then we compare dust of the earth, a handful of dirt, with omnipotence. All powers of him. And we're comparing sinner to sinless perfection. That's foolish, folks. We're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Neither are we to compare ourselves and our lives to Jesus Christ. You can't fulfill that. Just follow the example that he gave us. That's what he commanded us to do. And by the way, you know what it produces? It just produces discouragement. It just produces discouragement. All right, you say, okay, Brother Todd, I'm not to compare myself with one another. I'm not to compare myself with Christ. Then bless God, what am I to compare myself with? Glad you asked. Ephesians 2. Go back to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Okay, Ephesians 2:10. All right, Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. All right, Ephesians 2:10. Got your place? All right, notice what it says. For we, who's the we? That's us. Are his, who's his? That's God's workmanship. That means I'm designed and created exactly like he wants me. I'm not like anyone else. So I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath. Now notice this next word. I told you we'd come back to it. Before ordained that we should walk in them. That's an interesting word, that word before. So it sounds like whatever's going on here, God has already done this long, long ago. And you know what he's done? What he's done is he has molded a perfect will for your life. You say, okay, I can't compare myself among myself. God said that's unwise. I'm not to compare myself to Christ just because I'm comparing apples and oranges there. So what can I compare myself to? Well, can I say this to you? That God one day is going to be the great comparer. And you know, one day you and I are going to stand, the Bible says, before the judgment seat of Christ. And you and I were going to give an account of the works done in this body according to whether they are good, because we're created under what kind of works? Okay. Whether they are good or what? Bad. All right. So that means there's a comparison of good and bad, right? That means what God, I believe, he's going to do is take your life. You want to compare yourself? You're going to be compared one day. You're going to be compared to the person God created you to be based on what you gave him. You follow me? What's happened is you're going to face him one day with and your life's going to be compared. The life present, that life that you gave him, is going to be the life compared to how he designed you to be. That means when you stand before God, this is his perfect will for you, and this is what you handed over. And that life's going to be compared to what he designed you to be and created you to be. You want comparison? There's going to be a comparison one day. And that comparison is going to be to the person you should have been compared to what you gave him. You see? You see, it'd be like this. If I took and created something, and I created a toy. And I came into the congregation and I gave one person that toy, and it was all unassembled with some instructions. And I gave that to them. I said, listen, I want you to go in that back room. I want you to put this together. You got 10 minutes. And I gave it to another person. And I said, I want you to go in this back room, put this together. You got 10 minutes. As soon as you put it together, I want you to bring it back. So they go back there. 10 minutes later, they bring their toy back. Now listen, you got to understand, I created the toy. I know how it's supposed to be. I put it together. I ordained it. I patented it. I've got everything right with it. And so you know what? I've got the perfect toy right here. They bring theirs back. Man, theirs looks like it was put together by a two-year-old. They've got things out of line. They got screws missing. They got this. Now listen, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take their toy and compare it to what? I'm going to compare it to the one that the Creator put together. I'm going to compare it to the perfect model. And folks, can I say something to you? When you face God, that's what your comparison is going to be. You're going to be compared to what you should have been based on what you are and what you produced. That's the reason, folks, that there's going to be a loss of reward at the judgment seat, because some of us are not in the perfect will of God. We haven't done or even remotely heading that direction. You see, this is going to be the basis of our judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, let me give you a couple things here and I'm done. And that is, how can I help curb the temptation to compare? How can we curb that temptation to compare ourselves not only with one another, but with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I think we find it in Romans chapter 12. Turn there if you would, please. Romans chapter number 12. All right, Romans chapter number 12. All right, Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2. Romans 12 and verse number 2. All right, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." All right? Now, let me give you a couple things here before we go. I believe if we're going to curb the temptation to compare, you and I are going to have to understand what the will of God is, the perfect will of God for your life. That's the reason people fumble through their Christian life for years and years and years, because they have no clue at what the will of God is for their life. So you know what they start doing? Comparing. Oh man, I'd like to go there. You know what I'm saying? We get missionaries come in, since we don't know the will of God for our life. Oh man, I wish I could go there. Oh, I'd like to do this. Then we see somebody else come up and they give a testimony about the juvenile ministry. Oh, I wish I could do that. And we jump on board with everything, have no idea what the perfect will of God is for our life. And all we do, you know what that promotes when you don't know what the will of God is? It promotes comparison. And we start comparing ourselves among ourselves, or even further, we start comparing ourselves to the ministry of Christ. Now, here's what I believe we need to do. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let me show you what Paul mentioned here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you want to know the perfect will of God for your life, I think there's two things that you need to be aware of. Number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 9. Look at verse number 8. Paul says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." He says, "For a great door of effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now I want you to notice the word door, and I want you to notice the word opened. Now, here's what I think is one of the key steps in understanding and knowing what the perfect will of God is for your life. Walk through every open door God provides. Walk through every open door God provides. Now, let me tell you something. You know why people are confused about what the will of God is? Because God opens doors they're afraid to go through. He opens a door and they're afraid to go through, and so they don't go through. And they're, you know what? They're already sidetracked. They're already over on the shoulder. See? Open or walk through every open door God provides. Paul said, he says, man, here in Ephesus, there's a great door of effectual opened unto us. Now, in order to do this, you know what that's going to require? It's going to require a little discernment. All right, here's the typical question. Brother Todd, how do I know that God opened the door? How do I know that God has opened this door for me to go through? All right, now listen very carefully. Let me tell you what discernment is. Discernment is to have the knowledge and understanding to judge. And what you're saying is your inability to judge an open door, whether it's opened by God or something else, is not boasting about your walk with God. Because a person walking with God is not going to have any question, this is of God. This is of God. If you know your Bible well enough, you know God is not going to kick open a door to destroy your life. It's not going to do it. You see, we need to walk through every open door. In order to do that, it's going to take some discernment. It's going to be able to take some knowledge and understanding to be able to judge. Now listen, I promise you got a relationship with the Lord. I promise you'll have no question when He opens a door. And you'll also know that when a door's open, that's not of God. I know that's not of God. But you know what it takes? It takes some discernment. It also takes a walk with God. Secondly, you know what else it takes? It takes a little courage. It takes a little courage to walk through that. Because remember, we're to live by faith and not by sight. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. So that means when that door's open, we'll walk up to that door. Woo! Hello? And listen, I'm telling you, this is what we want to happen. We'll walk up to that door that opens. Lord, is that you? Are you in there? Now here's how we judge it. When we don't hear any voice come back, okay, that's not of God. It's not of God. I didn't hear a voice come out of that door telling me, yes, come, come. Folks, can I say to you, when God opens the door, He expects you to have a little bit of spiritual discernment to know it's of Him. Amen. And He shouldn't have to say, come over here. You ought to know what it is. And I promise you, it's going to be doors opened unto you by faith. Do you want to be in God's perfect will or not? You know, it's going to take discernment and it's going to take a little courage. Let me give you the last thing here. If we're going to know the perfect will of God, we're going to need to walk through every open door God provides. And then may I say number two, study for the tests. Study for the tests. Now you college students and TBA students, study for the tests. If the teacher says, tomorrow we will have a test in this class over this subject, why would you think she's kidding? Why would you think, well, nah, she didn't really mean that. You know what's going to happen? You're going to come to your class the next day, unprepared. She's going to throw a test out there in front of you, and you're going to think, boy, she wasn't kidding. And all of a sudden, you're going to break out in a cold sweat. Or even start crying. You know why? You can study for the test. You know what's fixing to happen? That test's fixing to eat your lunch. Now listen to me. If we're going to know the perfect will of God, study for the test. Take your Bible, 1 Peter 1. Okay, 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7. All right, it'll be familiar to you. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith. We're supposed to walk by what? Okay, it says, the trial of your faith. Being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Kind of sounds like to me, you can bet on it, it's coming. You're going to have a test. All right, go to chapter 4 and verse 12. Go to chapter 4 and verse number 12. Okay, everybody got your place? Chapter 4, 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, who's that? Okay. He's fixing to make a statement to believers. He says, beloved, think it not strange. It's kind of like you kids when she flops that test. This is a strange thing. No, it's not strange. She told you it was going to happen. She already told you you're going to have a test, and it shouldn't be strange. You've already been informed. Can I say something to you? When you got saved, how many times has your pastor informed you, you will be tested? You will be tried. And so what I'm saying, what he's saying here is this. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try who? You, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Everybody else is digging into their test and you're sitting there, tears rolling down your face. And the teacher has to come to you and say, what's wrong? Why are you upset? You're trembling. Your heart's about to explode. You know why you're going through all of that? You're going through all of that because you didn't study. And that test is fixing to eat your lunch. What I'm saying to you, study for the test. Now, here's three things. Write these down. I'm done. Okay? Here are basically the three areas in your Christianity you're going to be tested in. Number one, faithfulness. Faithfulness. That's just obedience to the commands of God. Can you follow instructions? Faithfulness, you're going to be tested. Number two, you're going to be tested in the area of stewardship. What God has entrusted you with. And by the way, does everybody understand here that God has entrusted you with more than just money? He's entrusted you with a Sunday school class. He's entrusted you with kids. He's entrusted you with a number of other things that we could go on and on and on and on. Listen, study for the test. Your faith will be tested. Your stewardship will be tested. Amen. Your stewardship's going to be tested. And then may I say number three, your loyalty will be tested. Your allegiance to Christ. We don't have time to go there, but go check me out. I can't imagine anyone else going through a testing time as Abraham did. Yeah, your allegiance to Christ will be tested. Your loyalty will be tested. Your faithfulness will be tested. Your stewardship will be tested. Now listen to me. All I'm trying to do tonight, church, is this. Is to get you to think about the perfect will of God for your life. Because I promise you, you get in it, it'll eliminate all this comparison. Because you'll understand I am where God wants me to be. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter any of that. Because I know I am in the will of God. You know why I want to be in the will of God? Because someday that's going to come back. And God's going to stand the life of Todd Lasseter on one side. He says, this is what I created you to be, and this is what you gave me. You mean that's what you wanted me to be? Yeah. Already had it all worked out. Listen, this is what I wanted you to be. I had a people already prepared for you in Africa for you to go and reach literally tens of thousands of people for Christ. Now, you know what you want to do? This is what you wanted to be. And here's what we're going to do. Well, Lord, why didn't you stop me? If you knew that this is wrong, why did you stop? No, he's going to let you make a fool of yourself. He's going to let you choose out of your free will that he gave you. Just listen, you had every right to choose his perfect will as much as you had every right to choose your own will. That day, I'm telling you, Get in the perfect will of God, it'll eliminate all this comparison. You get in your will, and you know what you'll start to do? You'll compare everything in the world. You'll compare everything in the world, and you know what you'll be? You'll be in your life. And if I compare, I'll be in my life. I'll be less than what God wants me to be. Unwise comparison. Would you bow your head with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen to me, church.